Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 259, part 2, the conclusion to Crucify Him. Today is Sunday, September 23rd, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming, 'cause the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
Have you ever gossiped? You listening on the radio against God's people? Have you ever been petty, or have you ever been jealous? Have you ever denied God's people when you had a chance to say something? You didn't say nothing at all, and you were noncommittal? There is no such a thing as being noncommittal and still being a Christian. You have to commit your ways unto the Lord. And that means just stick up for a brother. Well, I just don't want to get involved. Well, then, hey, you give up your heritage. Christians that aren't involved, there's something wrong. If you don't want to be involved in a person's suffering, then there's something wrong. Because if you want to join with Jesus and you want to wear that crown, you got to suffer with your brothers and you got to suffer with your sisters. And when they rejoice, you rejoice with them. The world says cry, and you cry all alone. And so he looks down, the Bible says, from the balcony. And he looks down on Jesus, and their eyes meet, and Jesus with his eyes seems to say, with the blood dripping and the gown and the whole mess, you know what it was like. And he seems to say with his eyes, yes, Peter, my word still stands, you are a rock. And it says, Peter runs away crying bitterly. Were you there? when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes, brothers, it kind of makes me want to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Have you found yourself there at the cross yet? Reminded then of Herod. Luke 23 and 11 says, Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. And this sex-crazy, hate-filled, murdering one who killed all 10 of his wives and sons with glee, who beheaded John the Baptist for a trophy for Salome's dance of the seven veils, a man ruled by his very flesh. Free sex, free. There is no such a thing as free. There is no such a thing. If it feels good, do it. Well, even now as I speak, our governments all over the world are as corrupt as the people. Not one, all of us. We the people, we the government. Who's going to judge the judges? Pilate, there's another face. John 19 and 6 says like this, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him. I think one of the very ironies of history is that one of the most obscure officials in the huge of the huge Roman Empire is today the very best known. He's remembered above Caesar, Seneca, Cicero, Tiberius, Virgil, Horace. He's remembered above them all, not for something he's done, but for something that he didn't do. Something that he didn't do. Is there an opportunity in your life to do something and you turned it down? Something that you didn't do that's bothering you? Something that you didn't do that's bothering you? Did you hear that? And that's why he's remembered, is because he had an opportunity and he didn't grasp it. He didn't take a hold of it. He didn't embrace it. I think we can all do types of good works. But I also believe that one time that we said no to God and God wanted us to do something, people will always remember that. How are you going to be remembered? You know, when having done all stand, you can go to bed at night and sleep. Exactly the way we feel about ourselves and what we remember about ourselves is how we're going to be remembered. Of course, there's forgiveness. Of course, there's restitution if you're listening on the radio. Maybe you need that. God knows we all do. But is there something that you didn't do that you had a chance to do and you didn't do it? I'm sorry, I won't make it. I'm sorry this, I'm sorry that. I'm sorry, so sorry, huh? That don't cut it. I'm sorry doesn't cut it. I'm sorry does not cut it if there's something that you had a chance to do and you didn't do it. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have talked about so-and-so, and I shouldn't have listened, and I should have stuck up, and why didn't I? I'm sorry I didn't come to the mission. I'm sorry I didn't go here. I'm sorry I didn't do this. I would have helped, but I would have done this, but I would have cleaned up, but I would have done the hobo bus, but I would have witnessed, but. And I think there's a whole lot of Christians that are stuck on their butts. And so here we have Pilate, who was a stubborn, petty, unreliable, pig-headed, small-minded, always making mistakes. I mean, he was a goofball. It says, number one, he put an image of the empire overlooking the temple. Unheard of! He should have wrote a book on how to make friends, influence enemies. And then he caused a mob, and then he put his men in civilian clothes, it says, and they murdered. And then he tried to use the temple funds for a water project. And he was always trying to solve a problem and would create another problem. Maybe you're listening to me today. Maybe you've hesitated to speak up for a brother. Maybe someone that's being put down. Then you're like Pilate, standing at the door while Jesus is nailed to the cross. Boy, I'm sure glad they finally nailed him! Maybe you are standing in the doorway, licking your chops and picking a patty melt out of your teeth. Now, come on out of that doorway. Get some get convicted. Get some guts, some G-U-T-Z's. Get some love. Get some devotion. And stop looking for excuses. And they all found an excuse. They had to go find one. Can you hold it a minute? I'll be right back and I'll give you my answer. There's something I must do. And you go in another room and you try to think of an excuse. Let's see. Oh, some people got ready-made excuses. Yeah, it's my job. Yeah, that's it. Well, God knows. Could be. And then again, sometimes it isn't. Huh? Well, I would do it, but see, wait a minute, I got this job, see. Ooh, were you there? Are you there? No, come on in and join it. There are no excuses. There are no excuses, none whatsoever, if you have an opportunity to do good. And the Bible says knowing to do good and doing it not is evil. To know to do good and do it not, therein lies the evilness. I mean, you know you should do it. Well, now they're chopping the guy's other arm off now. Well, what can I do about it? Oh, there it goes. Oh, now they're chopping his leg off. What? Aren't they mean? Aren't they naughty? Aren't they mean to him? No, you're stuck with that truth the rest of your life. Might as well get up off the frumpy bottom and go on over and commit yourself to something. Get some G-U-T-Z's. Or you'll live with that truth the rest of your life. I could have, but I didn't. I mean, if you can be trusted 80% in battle, do you think you can be trusted? Well, most of the time you can trust him. Most of the time. I'd say about 80%. I don't. Man, I would hate to be in battle with somebody I could trust 80% of the time. Wouldn't you? 80% of the time. Well, for the most part, you can trust that person. Well, then I just have been doing very mediocre jobs. I'd never put him in any life-saving job. I'd never put him on these machines that they have for giving oxygen and the right mixtures and so on like that. Well, they're pretty reliable. I mean, yeah, he was a janitor, and for the most part, I think maybe 4 or 5 times in a month he'd forget to do a room here or there or something. But for the most part, 80% of the time reliable. Let's put him on the Let's let him be the anesthesiologist. I trust him most of the time. 80% don't cut it. No, it does not cut it, folks. It doesn't cut it. Being faithful in a ministry 80% of the time doesn't cut it. Well, you see, this happened and that happened, and so on and so on. Man, I bet there's some red faces out there now. Whew. Huh? Judas's? There's opportunity for Judas's now all over the United States and all over. I mean, there's opportunities. With all these pressures that are going on. And a lot of pilots thrown in there. Hand me a bar of soap here. Turn the faucet on. Hey, towel, please. Doesn't that stink? I mean, 80%ers, I'd rather have somebody be ice cold. I won't do it, period. Count on me not doing it. 100% I won't do it. 110% I won't do it. Never do it. Never will. I have the burden for it. Don't want to have the burden for it. Don't want to do it. I am not your person. Good. I'm glad I found that out. Either be red hot or ice cold. Oh, but don't be lukewarm. Do you want a good testimony? Get involved with Jesus. Lift him up, and all the people will be drawn unto him. That's a good testimony. Some say I would if I could, but I can't. Another face. Caiaphas in John 18 and 14, it was Caiaphas who had given the counsel to the Jews that it was expedient, the Bible says, that one man should die for the people. What wisdom given of God. Who do you think was the most responsible for the death of Christ? Pilate, he pronounced death. Did he? Herod? No, I think he's just another link. The mob, yes, and then again, no. The soldiers, well, they obeyed orders. Well, who then? Sometimes. You ever seen little feisty dogs? There's two great big dogs, they're all bristled, and they're walking. Here's a great big bulldog. And then there's this great big wolf-like looking dog with his hair standing up on his back, and this little dog comes yapping. Yap, 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 yap. Yap, 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 yap. Huh? Who's the guiltiest? Well, before they were saying, well, who is the greatest? Who's the guiltiest? If there is such a word. Sounds good. Fits in. Think it is. What was wrong? What was the enemy here? Envy. Envy. The enemy, I believe, that's pointed at ministries now is envy. Proverbs 14 and 30 says, envy is rottenness of bones. It gets right down to your bones. You can't stand it. You envy somebody so bad, your bones start to ache. Ooh, they ache. Ooh, they ache. Ooh, that person. Oh, look at. Ooh. Huh? Somebody gets something, you don't have it. Envy comes in. Your bones just ache. You can't even sit down right. You know, You ever try to cross your legs when they're stiff? Huh? Huh? Ooh, envy. It just tightens you all up. Oh. Why do they have to be blessed all the time? Ooh. Huh? Myself, I don't care when somebody gets up. I mean, I'm past that, aren't you? Praise God. It's more to take care of. Travel light, Bible says. Toothbrush, pair of socks, and one coat, paraphrased. Because the sin of envy, you know, it's like a boomerang. You throw it out, and it's going to come right on back to you. Look at Saul and look at David. Isn't that a terrible, sad story? Look at Joseph and look at his brothers, that envy. James 3, 15 and 16. If in your hearts you have envy and selfish ambition, do not speak, it says, boastfully and falsely in defiance of the truth. This is not wisdom from above, which comes down from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where it says there is envy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Envy. Maybe you're waiting for someone to go down. And, oh, they won't go down. Why won't they go down? Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify! And they just won't go down. And then something good happens to them. Isn't that a terrible thing, that envy? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Whoa! Sometimes it kind of makes me want to tremble. Brothers, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And then we have the indifferent mob sitting around eating cheeseburgers. Matthew 21, 8 and 9. Most of the crowd, it said, spread their clothes on the road, and others cut branches. Listen to this, it's so beautiful. Cut branches from the trees and they spread them out on the road, and the crowds that went before him followed him, this is just a few days before, and shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Now listen to what it says in Mark 15, 8 and really through 14. You can read it. The crowd cried out, crucify. And Pilate said to them, why, what evil has he done? Of course, his wife had told him that she had seen him in a dream. She had warned him, don't touch this man. But it says they shouted all the more, crucify him, crucify him. And just a short time before, they had said, Hosannas to God on the highest! Hosannas! I think this represents a whole lot of people today who don't want to be different. And so they sway from one side to the other. They don't want to be different. They don't dare to be different. We don't dare to be different and to stay being different. And so when somebody comes in, they say one thing, they're that, mm-hmm. And then somebody says, oh, mm-hmm, 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 and mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. And who's ever around, they agree with the person they're talking to. One says, crucify, And the other one says, what a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh? They don't want to be different. Oh, I don't want to be different. Maybe I'll be next. Maybe they'll say, crucify him. I better agree in a hurry. No, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. They completely change because so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Whoa, sometimes it kind of makes me want to tremble, brothers, tremble. Were you there? Mark 14, 51 and 52, and a young man followed him with nothing on but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the crowd. He left the linen cloth, it says, and ran away naked. Who was he? And I read on this and I studied on this, and some time back it says tradition has it that it was Mark. Mark himself. At least he tried to interfere. At least he ran out in season, out of season, when it was handy and when it wasn't handy, and he ran out with a sheet on his body. Barely escaped. And although that he did run, he made an attempt, and that will always be remembered. Oh God, people, learn to just at least make an attempt. You know what? He'll never be forgotten. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Then it says, Simon of Cyrene, Mark 15 and 21, and they compelled him, a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father, it says, of Alexander and of Rufus, to carry his cross. And I believe Simon was probably a black man. And at first it didn't appeal to Simon. But as he looked at the suffering eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, beaten, and that body bleeding, I can hear him saying, oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. And I can see him lifting up that cross off of the beaten down Jesus and lifting him on his shoulders and taking it up over that hill. Will you tonight bear one another's burdens? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Oh, sometimes it kind of makes you want to tremble, brothers, tremble. Maybe Joseph, let's look at Joseph of Arimathea. Mark 15, 42 and 43 goes like this, and when evening had come, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who is also himself looking for the kingdom of God, listen to this now, looking for the kingdom of God, I like this, took courage and went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. He took courage and he asked for the body of Jesus. Oh, how we need to take courage. He wasn't ashamed and he wasn't fearful. He wasn't worried about losing his reputation. Oh, how we worry about losing our reputation. Oh, don't worry about it. You lose it several times during a lifetime. One thing you don't lose is when you build character. Jesus, it says, was a man of no reputation. But oh, what character. And so he took courage. You take courage tonight. You listening on the radio. Take courage and grab a hold of the hand of Jesus. Were you there? Mary of Magdala. John 19 and 25, another face. And it says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, and the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And oh, how the Bible says she loved Jesus. He had freed her of 7 demons. She was beautiful, but she was loose. But then she met Jesus and became, the Bible says, pure. And she stayed from the very start to the very end, during the trial, during the beating, while he was on the cross. We learn right here that love is greater than faith. And faith can't work unless it works by love. All the faithful, if you remember, all the faithful disciples ran, but love can take it. She had that staying power. Love makes you stay. You might not always like what you're doing, but when you try to leave, you might not always like your children. You don't always like Luke, I'm sure. And you get mad. I just don't like what that kid does. I don't like what I see in him. You see yourself in him. And you see your husband in him. You see grandpa in him. God, that's fierce, ain't it? But you still love him. That's the difference. That's the difference. You don't always like what you're doing, but you got a love for it. You got a burden, you got a love, and that burden, oh, that burden is love. So all these faithful disciples ran, but love can take it, and love stayed. You'll read 1 Corinthians 13, tells you all about it. Then we have John, another face, it says, the beloved disciple. He had the zeal and he had the enthusiasm and he had the daring. He was in the court during Peter's denial and he openly admitted he was part of the Jesus people. He had the G-U-T-Z's. Later on, the Bible says he was exiled to the island of Patmos. Jesus entrusted him with Mary, Jesus' mother, and with the book of Revelation. And we have another person here, I'm closing, Demas. Demas the thief, Luke 23 and 39. One of the criminals who were hanged said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingly power. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Demas, a young man, probably 15 or 16 years old, that was turned on to crime. It probably appealed to him. And these two thieves, the Bible points out, were co-workers with Barabbas' group. The older man, it says, mocked. But the younger one saw peace and he saw strength. And he grabbed a hold of Jesus. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Lastly, we have the centurion, Mark 15 and 39. I love this. And when the centurion, and this centurion was a battle-scarred, mean-looking guy. I mean, he was all muscle and a hank of hair and bone and knife and a real warrior. And it says, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he was thus breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. An open confession. And that was the man who led the band that captured Jesus. He was so impressed by the Lord's personality, by his character, by his divinity. He watched the whole 16. Pilate, Herod, back to Pilate, and, oh, I wash my hands, and then the mob. He had seen every kind of man. He had seen every kind of criminal. And he watched Jesus as they beat him, spit on him, became crazy as they sought to stick and jab and bruise and pierce. And he looked up at Jesus when Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." There is the message. Hallelujah. There you have it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if that ever was a grace message, they don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them. Mark 16 and 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. Always remember, and don't ever get too blue about his death. That's why it's called Good Friday. Because Good Friday always points to that very wonderful, victorious Sunday, that resurrection. He has risen. Why do you come looking for him? He has risen. And so the resurrection brought power and victory and joy and happiness and freedom. Don't compromise. Meet Jesus all the way. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to do the work of God. Don't be ashamed to be different. Don't be fearful. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Well, sometimes it kind of makes me want to tremble, brothers, tremble. But I'll tell you one thing. All I got to do is look at the Lord and feel his presence. And tonight I was getting ready, and I felt the presence of Jesus all over my whole body. That part about the Simon of Cyrene picking up the cross, and I read that, and I felt a witness all over my whole body. Hey, there's nothing like a witness in the Spirit to turn you on to the Lord. And I certainly am getting a witness off of what's going on down here. I'm getting a witness. You know how you get a witness? By being one. I am what I am, and I ain't no more. And you are what you are, and you'll never be anymore. But if you know Jesus, that's all you'll ever need. I'll tell you, the way things are rounding up right now, the coming of the Lord is very, very close. It's right around the corner. Right around the corner. There's no two ways about it. Persecution is coming, and I'm not talking about someone's tisk tisk when you're praying over your pumpkin pie at Kresge's or the 10th Woolworths or something like that. I'm talking about somebody cracking a beer jug and jamming it in your face. See? I'm talking about real persecution. Now, don't be fearful and just stand there having done all, stand. And that's where it's at right now. Were you there? Praise the Lord for the gospel message and for the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message. It never gets old. Never, ever gets old. The grace of God. How can that get old? As Don said it, he said that sometimes you got to take a crowbar in somebody's mouth and open up and make them say they're saved by, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Say they've passed that. They got the bowl haircut and they got the little pinstripe suit on and they got these corny black shoes on and the pad thing with the pencils in it, you know, and they're just so self-righteous. So self-righteous that they stand in the door and they won't let anybody get through until they bowl haircut it and they're just exactly a replica of them. That ain't the way it is, folks. God wants you to be an individual. Just live your life. There's so much bondage in people, Christians. There's so much bondage. Just be yourself in Jesus. You ever try to be perfect? I'm not saying, don't practice to excel, but I'm saying, do you ever try to be perfect? There's only one that's perfect. And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, the Father. Where does that leave us? Well, right next to Jesus. Oh, come on now. Come on now. I mean, if you're busy doing the Father's work and you're busy in harness with the Lord, you ain't going to have a whole lot of time to get in trouble. Darn it. Sometimes you miss it, don't you? Sometimes you miss it. Tell it like it is. Oh, goodness. Well, I never. I'm just telling it like it is, radio audience. And I mean, you can be as self-righteous as you want to be out there. It says that your righteousness is but stinking, filthy rags. Rags. You almost got to irritate people into getting mad. Rags. Filthy rags. That's what my dad would say. Filthy rags. Filthy. That's how Jesus sees you. But when you're clothed with humility, knowing, God, I'm a sinner, save me, and you're clothed, and Jesus at that very moment just flushes his blood over you and cleanseth, ETH, an ever-going, oncoming, always cleansing power of Jesus. It's always cleansing you because you always need cleansing. Always need it. Well, I'm so clean now, I think I can stay clean for 2 or 3 months without even doing anything. I won't even have to mention Jesus or nothing. I'll just stay. I'll walk real careful, and then I'll stay clean. I'll just stay clean. You try by yourself. Do you ever try to put on nice clothes, and you have a white suit on, and you say, I'm just not going to touch nothing. I'm going to stay clean today. And you're back on. You're doing real good. And then all of a sudden, you look down. There's a great big black mark. Where did that come from? God, I just put this white. It seems like every time I put this suit on, because you're walking around and you're trying to stay clean. Now, if you were just natural, you'd go home and you wouldn't be dirty. Huh? One thing that wouldn't be dirty is the seat of your pants. And if you were dirty, what's the difference? What are you trying to put on a show for somebody? Oh, look, I've been walking for 2 weeks, and you think, looks just like I just put this on, don't I? I have it on in 2 weeks. I've learned how to walk in God without getting dirty. Hey, there's a secret to it. Well, don't look now, but the whole rear end of your pants is blown out, fella. I mean, they're just, yeah. Better get a four-way mirror, Jack, because, oh, I'm sorry, Jack. Better get a four-way mirror. Fred, is there any Freds in here? You're pretty safe with Fred, although there is a Fred Club now. How did I get into that? But were you there? Huh? Were you? Did you see yourself tonight in one of those characters? I seen myself in all of them. And so I know I need the grace of God to save me. I know it. It's only the grace of God that can do anything in your life. And it says you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you grow? You grow in the grace and knowledge by knowing Jesus. That's how you grow. You don't grow by putting on your white suit and making it through 2 weeks of perfectness. You can't do it. There is no way you can do it. You fail every day. You fall short of the mark, the high calling. You fall short. We all miss the mark. You hit the bullseye every time. Check it out. Were you there? Anybody got a comment they'd like to make? Anybody? Short little 30-second comment? Something that touched you in the message tonight about were you there? Anything? Yeah, well, usually people don't. They say, oh, I should have said something, but my heart was... Do you ever feel like that? You wanted to say something, and then your heart just... Huh? Well, I'll say something. I've seen myself, like I said before, in every one of those characters there. Oh, God, it's only the grace of God will keep you from going all the way wrong. He's the one that keeps you going all the way right. He makes it right. He makes you righteous. Whether you like it or not, he makes you that way. Were you going to sing, Sue? Okay, good.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 259. That was part 2, To Crucify Him. Be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links. This week's links are numerous. Be sure to check those out. Pastor Paul talks about faces about the cross, and he does have all of the scriptures with each of those different faces, so check those out. Also, I want to tell you how to subscribe in Reader. If you go to Pastor Paul's blog, on the left-hand side, scroll down a bit, and you're going to find the button that says Subscribe Now, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's Podcast. Now, the reason you want to subscribe is so that you don't have to check Pastor Paul's blog for a new podcast each week. So you're going to go down, you're going to click on the Reader button. That's going to take you over to Pastor Paul's blog, the podcast feed burner. If you look, there's a box with a bunch of little boxes there, and you go to View Feed XML. There's a little orange button like the one you just clicked. Click that on. That brings you up to subscribe to this feed using live bookmarks. Subscribe now. Click that on. It's going to bring you up to the live bookmark. You can name it Pastor Paul's podcast if you want, and then hit the subscribe. There you have it. From that point on, you are going to get Pastor Paul's podcast coming directly to you every time there's a new episode. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two, the conclusion. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday. Messages lift off. Woo-woo! God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. You may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.